Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
morning, saints and friends, and welcome to another episode of the Serious Bible Study. I'm your host, Prophet Keith Douglas, and today we're going to be talking about uncovering the spiritual illusion of flattery. The spiritual illusion of flattery. It's going to be a great topic this morning, so make sure you get your coffee pot going. Gather all the people that are in your house around the telephone or the internet, and let's have church this morning. I tell you what, we're looking forward to a great word from the Lord this morning. Before we get started, we want to make a couple of brief announcements and bring you up to date on what's going on with the conference in Oklahoma City. Scheduled dates are June 22nd through the 24th, Prophetic Impact Conference, which will be June 22nd through the 24th. So you want to prepare yourself to come to Oklahoma City in June of this year. I tell you what, we're going to have a doozy of a conference, and I promise you that you will leave from here and never be the same. We are working diligently in order to secure all of the last entities that are still left to put together. We're looking still to finalize the speakers, and I mean, if we get the ones that the Lord is wanting us to have, we're going to have some time in the Lord. We're hoping to be able to solidify everything by this coming week. So we want you to stay tuned to Facebook, come on the broadcast, and we'll be able to share more with you on next week. But we're hoping that everything will be finished, our flyers will be ready to go out, and the information concerning the conference will be finalized, and we are going to have a time in the Lord. Amen. And so we want you to prepare yourself. Get ready to come to Oklahoma City June 22nd through the 24th of this year. And I tell you what, you might need to make plans to get on the bus, Gus, make some plans, Stan, and get ready to come to Oklahoma City. That's June 22nd through the 24th. Amen. We'll share more about the conference later on in the broadcast. Amen. Secondly, if you are a first-time listener of the broadcast, we surely do appreciate you. Amen. We appreciate you so much, and we want you to become a monthly supporter of the Serious Bible Study. This teaching access comes to you by way of internet and on the phone lines. But it's, how many of you know, it's not free. Amen. But it requires the help from our partners in order to continue to be able to come to you each and every week at 7 o'clock a.m. And so we solicit your involvement to be a part of the monthly supporter crew. Amen. Many of the listeners are already monthly supporters, and so if you have not been able to become a supporter, we want you to do so. And that is easy to do. All you have to do is go to our website at kogwoc.org. Ask the Holy Spirit what it is that He would have you to do monthly that would allow us to continue to reach you by way of this broadcast. It helps us whenever we're putting on the conferences that we're talking about. As we go out to minister to people, we sow into the lives of people with tape and CD product. Amen. We're a covering entity for ministries. We're doing a full gamut of ministry work for the kingdom of God, and it takes money to do so, and so we need your support. And so we ask all of you that are a part of the Serious Bible Study to sow a monthly supporting seed of whatever it is, whatever amount it is that the Lord puts on your heart. Amen. If everybody did a little bit of something, then we would not have a need in this ministry. Amen. So we ask each and every one of you to see what the Holy Spirit would have you to do. Go to our website at kogwoc.org, kogwoc.org, and sow a seed into this prophetic ministry and watch and see if God will not honor your giving by giving you and opening up the windows of heaven unto you. Amen. Many of the people that have been that have sown into this ministry will tell you that this is good and fertile ground to receive a blessing if you sow a seed of support. Amen. Glory to God. Well, again, I think we have a good message entitled Uncovering the Spiritual Illusion of Flattery this morning. We welcome those of you that have joined us by way of internet and those that are listening by way of the phone lines. Boy, they're lining up on the phone lines this morning, and looks like we're going to have a good time in the Lord this morning. Amen. Want to send a shout out to my phone line crew, those that have joined us by way of the phone lines. We thank God for you. We thank God for you being diligent to come on the broadcast each and every Sunday morning. It blesses our heart to know that there are people out there that want to hear what it is we have to say. All right. Well, before we get into the message this morning, we want to go before the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless the meeting on this morning, the study on this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much right now for your diligence and for your support in allowing us to come into the hearts and the lives of those who are listening to what it is that you are releasing through this broadcast. Lord, we pray by the power of the Holy Ghost that revelation, information, and all of the aspects of your kingdom are released into their life, that give them the ability to stand toe-to-toe with the devil, O God, and forces, O God, that be in high places, and declare, and not only declare, but be victorious over everything, O God, that is in the earth. Father, we bind the spirits of principalities and powers in high places that come to distract or destroy, take away from what it is that you would do through this broadcast. And, Lord, we render them powerless in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that the blessing of your kingdom would rest upon the ears that hear and the hearts that receive, so that your name would be glorified in the earth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we want to start off in the book of Daniel. And we're going to talk a little bit about flattery, and we want to talk about how flattery has been misconceived as being a positive element in the lives of people. We thank God that for the ability to bring discernment into our life so that we understand the truth about flattery. Flattery and oftentimes has been connected to that which is positive in nature, but flattery from a biblical sense has a much greater meaning than we are aware of. Flattery in the past can be conceived as being complementary. Amen. When someone's being flattering, that we perceive that as something that people are doing in order to compliment us, when there's actually another motive behind it that the enemy uses in order to get us off track. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. You still got time to call somebody and tell them get on the line that they can hear a word from the Lord. Amen. So get your iPads out. Get your fill up your coffee cup and let's get ready to get into the Word. Book of Daniel, chapter 11, is where we're going to begin. And I want to begin reading verse 27 of chapter 11 in Daniel. And it says, "And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come towards the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolation. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." It's Daniel chapter 11, where Daniel is talking about the end times, and he's talking about the kings that shall arise during that time and how they will seek to overthrow and to do away with the kingdom by the use of flatteries. And so we want to talk about flattery this morning. And we want you to understand that flattery is not really what it appears to be. Again, we think it is complementary. But let me tell you what Strong says about flattery. Strong defines flattery as being smooth and seductive talking. Webster describes flattery as excessive, insincere praise used to further one's selfish interests. Get that this morning. I want you to get a hold of that this morning. Flatteries has been defined as being deceitful and slippery smooth talk. Flattery appears at times to be complimentary, but is really rooted in deceit that has hidden motive and makes it akin to witchcraft. Okay. We're going to get into that this morning. People that use flattery are actually operating in a form of witchcraft. And it shows up, you know, that whenever witchcraft is present, there are four things that are always present when you deal with witchcraft, and that is intimidation, manipulation, domination, and control. Intimidation, manipulation, domination, and control. Flattery is associated very strongly with the spirit of rebellion, because we know that the Bible says that people that operate in the spirit of witchcraft says that witchcraft is likened unto rebellion. And so rebellion is that which is that decides and makes a decision to rebel against God. It's Antichrist, amen, and it is meant to bring about your demise. And but before it can operate, it has to take on the elements that are the elements that are associated with witchcraft. Because in order for witchcraft to have its to fulfill its task, it has to sedate you, put you under a spell, and then seduce you out of the will and purpose that God has established for your life. It is a tool and an instrument that was used or has been used by the devil from the very beginning. Amen. Witchcraft has been used by the devil from the very beginning. Once you turn with me to the book of Genesis, book of Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to see how it is that the enemy used flattery in the very beginning of mankind. Book of Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, where it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not die. For God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now look, right there, what we see happening is the serpent is using what we call flattery. You know, if you eat that, you'll be like a god. You'll be like a god. You'll have the knowledge of the gods, and you'll be able to know good and evil. That's flattery. That's flattery, and that's what the enemy was using. That's what the enemy was using in order to deceive Eve in the garden. Like Strong says, it was smooth and seductive. Amen. It's insincere praise used to further one's own selfish interest. So the enemy is using flattery now in order to try to get Eve and Adam out of the position that God has established for them, where they would be the head and not the tail. Glory to God. But in order to be able to accomplish that task, he has to be able to sedate her understanding and bring her into a place where she will receive information that was not really a lie, but we know that it was not the truth. Yeah, we know that if you eat of the fruit that you'll have the knowledge of good and evil, but what he didn't tell you is for the rest of your life you'll have to learn things from the place of you'll have to learn things from a standpoint of trial and error. In order to know the truth, you'll have to go through some stuff instead of just being able to know the truth and the truth being enough. Mankind was only supposed to know how good God is. That's all Adam knew. Before that, he just had knew how good God was. Everything that God did unto that point, the Bible said, was good. And so once he tapped into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now he has to learn everything by way of trial and error. In order to know what's good, you have to experience what's bad along with it. That is the devil, amen. That is the devil. And that's the way the enemy shows up in our life. He shows up in our life for the purpose of getting us off course and off track for the things that God wants to do in our lives. Amen. We're going to break it down some more, but before I do, I want to go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7 is a great chapter because what it does is it reveals to us the hidden motives of the spirit of rebellion. Amen. Proverbs chapter 7 is a dissertation that God uses in order to bring us into a place where we receive revelation about the harlot. Amen. And the harlot is a woman that is a seductress. She wants to seduce and then get you out of the covenant. Amen. Daniel 11 says that he wanted to do away with the covenant, so they use flatteries, and she's no different. Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 7, it talks about, let's look at verse number 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. In order for flattery to be able to succeed, it has to find somebody that is immature and void of the understanding that is associated with the aspects of flattery. And so it says that verse number 8, passing through the street near her corner, he went by the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. See, that word subtle shows up again just as it did in Genesis chapter 3, where the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle. Amen. He didn't just come out and say he was going to destroy you, but he was subtle in his ways, convincing in his ways to make you think one thing when he was really out to do another. And so it operates in the dark, the black and dark night, verse number 9, which means it operates where there is no revelation, there's no illumination. Many of the things that the enemy tries to do, he does under the cover of darkness so that no one will see him coming, because we know that the thief comes at night. Amen. And so in describing this spirit, remember that Proverbs 7 is not a woman, but it's just, and it says, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without in the streets and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him, who was void of understanding, and kissed him. Why'd she do that? Because in order for you to fall under the spell of the spirit of witchcraft, you have to allow access to your heart. And so whenever we found out that whenever you go mouth to mouth, there is always an exchange from one heart to the next. Oh, get that this morning. Get that. It's a form of worship. Amen. And so in the midst of that, she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore I came to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home, and he is gone on a long journey. So she's lying to this man and setting him up for destruction, seducing him out of the understanding that will cause him to lose the covenant with the Lord. Flattery is a form of rebellion that uses manipulation to accomplish its selfish purpose. So you need to beware of people that are throwing a lot of flattery your way. Amen. You need to be careful of that person, because the definition is that they're smooth and seductive in what they do. You know how Slick Willie is. He's so smooth, so suave, and so debonair. And he can just seduce the hairs off a cat's back. Boy, I tell you, he is so smooth. He is so smooth, and he can talk you into a place where you let your guard down. And at the moment that you let your guard down, then he seduces you out of the promise that God has for your life. And so verse 20 says, he has taken a bag of money with him and will come at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips, and she forced him into a place where he is seduced out of the promise. Flattery, I tell you what, is a weapon used by the enemy in order to deceive. And in order to deceive you, it has to be rooted and based in a lie. Amen. Has to be rooted and based in a lie. And so flattery is a form of oral gratification that is meant to please the flesh. And so it uses the tongue to seduce. Amen. The serpent uses his tongue to be able to discern everything that's going on around him. That's why you see every snake has their tongue out trying to find out what's going on around them. And they use that tongue to discern where prey is hidden. Amen. And so many times people become prey just simply because they're void of understanding. They're immature in the things of God. And so everybody understands that flattery is the way to a person's heart. Amen. you're walking around and you're eating chocolates all day long, and then somebody walks up to you and says, "Hey, you look like you've lost weight." Yeah. And you say, "Really? Do I look like?" And you know you haven't done anything to lose any weight, but it's the oral gratification that we receive when people are wanting to manipulate us into doing something that's going to benefit them but take away from you. Oh, I don't hear nobody talking to me this morning. It is meant to please the flesh, which means that it is sensual, and the main intent is that it would be pleasing to the flesh, but not pleasing to the spirit. Remember, the flesh and the spirit war continually against one another, can't come together. And so when the enemy wants to seduce you out of the promise of God, he starts saying to you, making insincere promises, things that seem like that they're going to have the benefit of the kingdom, but really are meant for your destruction. And it uses the tongue, which is interesting, because the Bible says that in our mouth we have the power of life and death in our tongue. So the tongue, being used unrighteously, has the ability to lead us astray from the promises of God by saying things that will stimulate our flesh but be non-productive. Amen. It won't produce. It is a form of, watch this, not trying to be sexual, but it is a form of masturbation, oral masturbation, to stimulate the flesh without producing anything. Hello, it's an empty promise. And so people that utilize this smooth talking, you know them because they're slick, man. They're smooth, and what they want to do is they want to try to appeal to your flesh, to your senses, in order to manipulate your senses so that you lose your sense. Glory to God. You lose your good sense, and you fall prey to the things that they're trying to do, because what the whole purpose is that they want to seduce you. But before they can seduce you, they have to sedate you. They have to make you unaware of what it is that they're trying to do, so they do it subtly, just like they did with the television and how they appeal to our senses. They didn't just bombard us all of a sudden with naked women, naked images of people, but what they did is they subtly moved towards that by inferring things that were sexual but not showing. If you look at the movies in the back in the early days of television, 1940s, 1950s, and they were not allowed to show sexual stuff, so they would show you a scene of two people embracing, and then the next thing that you see, somebody's getting out of bed. So they inferred to you that they had had sex, so you understood what was done, but they did it subtly. And now they don't care. They just go ahead and just show you, and then don't say anything about it, because what they've done to us is they've sedated us, put us under a spell, to the point where now we have become void of the tactics that they're using. But they're really trying to bombard our flesh so that they can seduce us into a way of being able to get things from us. Amen. They want you to give away your position that God has established for you. And the way that they do that is they get you into the sensual aspect of the enemy to try to please your flesh versus pleasing the Spirit of God. And so the manipulation of the flesh through oral gratification is what the enemy's using now in order to sedate or seduce people out of the will of God. Among the young people, it's amazing that they believe that from a sexual standpoint, that the things that are done through masturbation is not considered to be sex. Amen. Why? Because it does not and cannot produce pregnancy. Amen. You can't give birth to anything because the goal is to produce a feeling that is void, watch this, that is void of production or producing life. Amen. It's not going to produce life, but it's going to produce a feeling. And so there was a song that used to be sang in the back in the 60s, in the early 70s, and they said, I'm hooked on a feeling. Amen. High on believing. Many of you know that song. I'm hooked on a feeling, high on believing. See, that was meant to subtly bring us into the place that the enemy wants us to do, where he wants us to respond to how we feel. It's the soulish realm. The soulish realm. Your will, your intellect, your emotions, or your feelings. And once he begins to manipulate your feelings, he can take control of your life because you won't be stimulated by the spirit, but by the flesh. And so we know that the works of the flesh produce negative things in our lives. And so because the enemy can't just push us into sin, he does it subtly by doing things that will stimulate our flesh realm and not the spirit realm. People that are hooked on drugs, they are involved in an illusion, and that illusion comes from the fact that the first time that you get high, the first time that you get high, that drug, whichever drug it is, it attacks the pleasure, the portion of your brain that produces pleasure, and it gives you a pleasurable feeling that your mind, that your physical body has never experienced before. And so from that point on, you never experience it again. But the trick of the drug addict is to try to produce that feeling that you had the first time you got high, and it doesn't do that again. Amen. And so you get hooked on drugs chasing an illusion. And so, you know, you get high, and then you have to get higher. You take more drugs, and you take more drugs until your body is dependent on it, but you never produce the feeling that got you hooked in the first place. Because it is appealing to the pleasure center of your brain. Oral gratification and flattery appeals to the pleasure part of your brain, but it never produces anything that allows fruit to come forth. And so people become flattery junkies. where you have to continually stroke their ego with your tongue. Yeah, that's the way the enemy does. The enemy is using sensual, sexual principles to try to seduce you out of the place that God has established for you. Now, this will really help you out a little bit when you figure out that after the serpent seduced Eve in the garden, the curse that God gave the serpent was that he would be cast on his belly and have to eat dust for the rest of his life. What does that mean? It means that he was standing before that. So the serpent was actually, watch this, a man that was smoothly talking and trying to seduce through jealousy the position that Adam and Eve were standing in. Saints, I'm here to tell you that the enemy is more, the Bible says that he's more wise than the saints, because what he's doing is he's trying to come slick Willie. Oh man, he's so cool, he's so debonair, he's so suave, and hey, I like your hair, and oh yeah, I like your, I like the way that you what you're wearing. Oh yeah, what is that cologne? It's so, and our pleasure center in our brain eats that up, and so he's doing that, which is righteous. Amen. But he's trying to do it for unrighteous purposes. It's deception that the enemy uses to seduce you out of the promise, to make you serve his purpose and not God's purpose. And so we have to beware of people that are constantly trying to seduce us into a place where they rob us of aspects of the kingdom that God has desired for our life, because it is built in deception, because they have another goal, they have another purpose. And that purpose is to get you out of the place that God has designed for your life. And one of the things about those people that is always evident is they start speaking to you real low. You know, they start whispering, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. No. When you start whispering, when they start that whispering, you need to run for the hills, man. They're trying not to let anybody hear what they're saying so that they can appeal to your flesh mode. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Don't nobody hang up on me this morning. You know how they come on the phone. Hey, how you doing? I was just thinking about it. See, that's the devil. That is the devil. It's smooth, it's slick, man. I was just thinking about you. Flattery. They use the tongue to seduce you into those areas of your life that are not meant for you to be a part of, but it gets you out of the covenant. How many of you know that when God has established the covenant with his people, then there are exceedingly great and precious promises that are associated with what it is that God wants to do. And suddenly he takes possession of the kingdom. You know, in order to get you out of the spirit realm, the enemy has to work day and night to suddenly keep moving you away from the place where God can speak to you and you can hear. Glory to God. He subtly moves you out of the place of prayer by giving you and allowing you to go come in contact with things that attack the pleasure principle in your brain, and you find yourself you find yourself constantly submitted to things that are giving you pleasure but not producing any fruit. And that is called unfruitful labor. Hello? Unfruitful labor is a curse. Glory to God. The Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes that it's good for a man to receive the benefits of what his hands have worked for. And so the enemy has distracted, watch this, the people in this country have been distracted by different aspects of life that subtly have moved them from the place that prayer used to occupy to a place in their life where the pleasure principle of their brain is being manipulated so that they will not go back to the place of prayer that they used to be a part of because of the fact that the enemy has given you something that you desire more than prayer. Oh, I just said a mouthful right there. Do you know that they're programming your telephone and they're giving you all of these apps so that those things can appeal to your pleasure principle or pleasure places in your brain so that you won't put your phone down because of the fact that they're using the apps to manipulate you to use their product. I saw something on television on CNN that was being where they were telling the truth about what they use the telephones for, and that is to keep you on the phone so that you will constantly use their product. And then they turn around and they tell you next year, okay, this phone won't do this, so you're going to have to upgrade your phone. And they make you keep buying these $300, $400, $500 phones because they have the ability to do this, do that, do this, do that. And they're subtly moving you out of the place where prayer used to occupy. Time that you used to spend with the Lord, now you spend on your phone, now you spend doing other things. And in the meantime, he is stealing the covenant, the promises from you, because you get you to the point where you're so far away from the place that God has established you that you can't hear his voice anymore. That is the illusion that is created through flattery. I move you a little bit further. I seduce you out of the place that prayer and God used to occupy. Oh, glory to God. You used to only be on your phone whenever you were talking to somebody on the phone. Now, all of a sudden, we got a whole society of people that won't put them down. We're addicted to the telephone. And if the Lord took your phone away, you would be so sad because you'd lose a friend. Listen, saints. I had a friend of mine that was telling me, he said, man, I think that my son-in-law is having an affair. I said, no, you're kidding me. He said, no. He said, I think he's having an affair. I said, what do you mean? He said, he's having an affair. I said, well, who's he having an affair with? He said, his telephone. And when he told me that, I laughed at him, and we went out to eat. But when we came back home, his son-in-law was sitting on the porch, and it was cold outside, sitting on the porch with his phone, talking to his phone in secret. Hello, Siri. They don't put somebody on those phones that when you ask them a question, and they say, what do you want? Hello, Keith. How are you? What can I do for you today? You know, it's seductive because it's appealing to the place in your brain that causes you not to be able to put it down. I don't hear nobody talking to me this morning. This is a weapon of warfare that the enemy is using successfully against the people of God. not just the telephone, video games and golf and soccer and everything. We're so caught up in the different aspects of life that giving us pleasure that we have that we have replaced God with that thing. What is the thing that has seduced you out of the place of prayer where you used to pray? Remember how you used to pray for hours and go before the Lord for hours and spend time in worship and spend time in the Word, but you don't do that anymore. You don't have, and the Lord is crying out, I miss my time with you. Because we've been flattered and seduced out of the place that God used to occupy in our lives. Friends, I'm here to tell you, we've got to break that demon spirit and get back to the place in our lives where God takes preeminence over everything that we do. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. And so what has happened now is we've created a society of people that have, watch this, attention deficit syndrome. If they don't have complete, if you are, they have to have attention continually. You've got to stroke their egos continually in order to make sure that you have their attention. Listen, church has given into that spirit because they feel like they can only garner your attention for 20 minutes. So the church services now are operating to the point where they have your attention for less than an hour. So that's not true, preacher. The church service is an hour, but a basketball game is two, and the stadiums are filled with people watching basketball, and the churches are empty. So now you tell me who's being successful. The place that God used to have preeminence has now been seduced away from us subtly. And now we need to have prophetic meetings because people can't hear his voice anymore. They can't feel his presence anymore. They used to pray and things happen, but now the anointing has been squandered on different aspects of life that have now replaced God as being number one. Now everything that goes on now is more important than God. How do we break free from that? Glad you asked. Very simple, I just said it. You have to tear down these idols in your life and put God first again. You have to resist the temptation of the flesh to go back to that thing that causes you to labor for hours and produces nothing but feelings. Oh, man, this country has been in a seductive state since 1985. And about 1985 is when the country of America stopped producing. And because of that, we became a slave to every nation that produced what it was that we needed. It's time to wake up, people, and get our priorities back to the place where God has preeminence, where God has been made first, and we'll see revival begin to creep back into our lives, and one by one people will begin to become sensitized now to spiritual things versus being desensitized by the things of the flesh. Oh, I know this hasn't been a shout me down message, but it's the truth anyhow. The enemy is more wicked than anything in this world, and he's doing it by way of witchcraft, manipulating our brain cells, our brain areas, so that we serve the creature more than the Creator. And Romans 1 says, because of this, he has to turn us over to a reprobate mind to do all these things that are not convenient. Inconvenience is the byproduct of worshiping idols. Now, because you've chosen to worship idols, God can't direct you into the place of promise. Listen, I want to take some phone calls this morning from those of you that are out there on the phone lines. If you're listening by way of the internet, I want you to come on the phone line by dialing 646-595-2110. That's 646-595-2110. If you are on the line, I want to hear from you. I want to get a comment from those that are on the line, and you can do so by pressing star 1 on your phone. I want to hear what you have to say about the spirit of flattery this morning. And so if you received the teaching this morning, I want you to press star 1 on your phone, and let's get into a discussion about what it is that God has released into your spirit this morning. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And if you've heard the word, then there should be a corresponding response, something that you've received from the Lord. Amen. And so we want you to share what it is that you've received this morning. And we want to talk about it, discuss it this morning. For those of you that are on the phone lines. And so once you press star 1 on your phones, in the meantime, while you're gathering your thoughts, I want to say that remember that this ministry operates solely on the financial support of the partners, those that have partnered with us and made a decision to come on the line every week. We appreciate you so much, and we want you to help us continue to allow these teachings to come forth, and you can do so by sowing a monthly support seed of any amount, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit speaks upon your life. We want you to be consistent, something that you can be consistent with every month, and sow that seed into the ministry, because it allows us to be able to reach the lost at any cost with the gospel of Christ, to be able to minister these messages to you, and we are able to do so because of your support, your faithfulness. And so if you haven't sown your covenant seed this month, we want you to sow, amen, because many of us have not reaped because we have not sown, amen. And so this is good ground. Wherever anybody has sown here, they can tell you that this is a place where if you sow money, then God will financially bless you. Amen. And so one thing about the prophetic is when you give to the prophetic, then you reap a prophet's reward, which is you'll get back twice as much at least than what it is that you've given. And so we want you to know that this morning. I'm still waiting on somebody that is going to press star 1 and start the conversation this morning. Where we talked about uncovering the spiritual illusion of flattery. Caller from the 216, God bless you. You're on the line.
Good morning, Prophet Douglas. It's Peggy from Ohio.
Miss Peggy, how are you?
I am blessed. I'm doing well. I thank God that he loves me and he keeps keeping me here. I came in just when you were starting to talk about the drugs and how it hits the pleasure part of your brain. But everything I heard after that was so true. And I sat here and listened to you, and I said, okay, he's right. I have always thought that this electronics that we have, I have always said that it's a distraction, that, you know, Satan is using it to get to us, but I hadn't thought it real deep. And what you said is so true. My son never puts down his telephone. He goes to the bathroom with it. wherever he goes in the house, it's in his hand. And it's ridiculous because you can't do anything else but be on that phone. I had a phone that I couldn't text on. All I could do was talk on, and that was fine with me. But they kept saying I needed to get update. So in December I did. I got a smartphone, touch screen, and yes, I'm on it more than I was on that other one because I got to check Facebook and I got to do this. And now he wants me to go get another phone and a bigger phone. And I told him, you know what, I don't need all that. I have enough problems with the one I have. Well, you're running out of storage space. Oh, well, then I shouldn't have been on it in the first place. But I have a tablet that I got from him, and you're right, it takes up my time because I pick it up to play this one game, just one game, Angry Birds. And right, every time I'm like, oh, I need to relax, I pick this tablet up and I play this game. And then after an hour or so, I'm like, dang, I could have been sitting and reading the word instead of doing this. So it's true. These things are geared up to keep our attention. Like you said, in the television, and you're right, they don't preach long anymore in the pulpit because we got to get home. We got to see the football game. We got to see the basketball game. We got to do this. We got to do that. But what about God? I had it prophesied to me that God said he wanted me to come back and worship him like I used to. So when you said that, I was like, ooh, Lord, there you go, confirming. We have not given God what we're supposed to anymore. We are lax because we're so busy being stroked and soothed and, oh, man, this is it. And no, that's not it. We need to do different. We need to break that curse. We need to leave these things alone. We need to get back to God, to praying, to worshiping, fellowshipping with him, and our lives would be better. Our lives would change. Not just our lives, but the whole nation.
Well, let's just say this. Do you think that somebody would have went on Facebook Live and shot and killed an innocent person for no reason? If people weren't seeing it all around the country, that was his 15 seconds of fame right there.
Yes. Yes.
But what it did is it cost him his life. It's not ironic that he took his own life.
That's right.
He took his own life because of the fact that the enemy seduced him into a place where he started to get gratification for murder.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, if he hadn't had a phone to do that, would he have still done it? That's my point. Because these and a lot of these video games that people are playing are perpetrating violence to the point where you get a rush for killing.
Yes, yes.
But what's happening is it's really killing you because it's leading you away from the place of productivity.
Mm-hmm. I took my grandsons to the library, and I was sitting nearby. I usually don't sit by them, but I was sitting by them while they were playing on the computer. And I looked, and I was like, what is this? And they was just playing. They was running, and they was shooting. And this blood was squirting out. Oh, what are y'all playing? Oh, this is, oh, no. We can't play that. You're not playing nothing where you're going to shoot people and they're going to die and the blood is splurting out all over the screen. And no, y'all better find something else to play or else we're going to get off it. So they went and got a little race game. They started playing a little race game. I said, no, see, that's why I'm sitting here watching you. I even had to take a comic book. Oh, comics were never like that when we were growing up. I opened up that comic book to look through it. These women all in there with thongs on and their boobs hanging out. And And the oldest one is already having issues because he's going through puberty. And I was like, what are you looking at? Well, it's just a comic book. No, this is not just a comic book. I can see what this will do to you. Nope, I got to screen your comic book. So every time you pick one up in the library, bring it to me so I can go through it and see what it looks like. Right, he has just, Faith has just moved in and he's just doing his thing. And right, he's real cunning about it. Real smooth. Because like the child said, oh, it's just a comic book. No. Mm-mm.
See, if he was just that, if the enemy just showed up with that guy, you know, that had the Jerry curl and the gold tooth, and he was just, what's your name? You know, if he was showing up like that, we would know to avoid him. But that's not the way that he's coming at us now. He's coming at us in a way that causes us to be seduced, which means there obviously is something on the inside of us that appeals to what they're producing and sending after us.
Yeah.
And that void is actually the things of God. If you occupy your time for an hour with that thing, but can't sit in church for an hour to hear the word, well, then you're going to be overcome by the works of the devil because you're giving more access of your time to those things versus the things that God is actually asking you to spend time with him for so he can release them in your life.
Yes, that is so true. So true. Yes, Lord.
Well, thank you.
It's not going to hurt anything. It'll be fine.
That's right.
And we fought for it. It's not going to hurt anything.
Every time, hook, line, and sinker, because we have attention deficit syndrome.
Yeah.
We need that attention. If the focus is not on us, then we can't function. And that's the spirit of selfishness, self-gratification.
Yes, yes.
Appreciate you calling, Miss Peggy. Thank you. Haven't heard from you in a while.
I know. I told you I come in every now and then. I be there.
Well, keep on coming. Keep on coming.
All right. Have a blessed day. Bye.
Bless you. I'm telling you, the enemy is so slick right now, man. He is showing up in every aspect. You can't read a magazine, can't read a newspaper, can't watch the commercials on TV. People are paying millions of dollars for commercials, 30-second spots on the television to try to find a way to seduce you into buying their product. Listen, I want to hear from you this morning. If you're on the line, I want somebody to press *1 on the phone and let's talk about this thing that's going on and affecting our lives. Because one of the things that we can see is that we're not having revival in the church right now, but people are leaving the church in masses because there are things that are more appealing to people than going to church. People don't go to church no more because it's not appealing. And if I got to get dressed up to go to church for 20 minutes, I can stay home and listen to the prophet on the talk line. And get what it is that I need on the talk line, but I don't have to go to church. Listen, I want to hear from you this morning. There's several people on the line, and my folks ain't talking this morning. I can't get nobody to talk back to me this morning. Where are the saints at this morning that are on the line? Surely you got a comment about what's going on. Press *1 on your phone so that we can hear from you this morning. We've got about 15 more minutes left in this broadcast, and so I want to get into some dialogue with believers this morning to see where we at, where's our heads at, that we're allowing ourselves to be seduced and sedated out of the presence of God. Amen. Amen. So is there anyone out there this morning that's not afraid to talk about what it is we got going on. If that's you this morning, press star 1 on your phone. Amen. This is why it's called the Serious Bible Study. I teach a lesson and then we comment about it. Amen. And so what I want to do is I want to get some feedback from those of you that are on the line. Am I telling the truth? Am I just speaking some religious babble? Because what I'm saying is, thank you, caller from the 862. Prophet, come on, help me out this morning.
Oh, good morning, Prophet. I was really trying to gather my thoughts because you're really talking good this morning, sir. And, you know, so many of us in the body of Christ, we're in a place of starvation, of a little bit of kitchen.
What is that word you use?
Starvation.
Starvation. Spirit. Maybe I'll preach on that next year. Spiritual starvation.
Yeah. We're in a place of starvation. And like you said, there is so much that is pulling us from prayer. And we don't think, it's not a conscious thing. If we sit back and just think, if it's just, oh, let me see what's on the TV. Just clicking on that TV when at one point in time we never turned the TV on. Or we would walk in the house, and speaking even for myself, I would walk in the house and go straight in the floor and straight to prayer. But something touched that place of starvation at one point in time, and we lost control, and then it's hard to get back. We got out of the place of prayer, we got out of the place of study, and now it's hard to get back to that place. And that's why I believe that many of us that love God, we love God, yes, we do. We love God, but when we experience a little bit of attention from the wrong source, the excitement, the pleasure, the attention, the stroking, the whatever, it pulled us away, and we don't want to be truth. We don't want to accept the truth about it, but it pulled us away from God. Yeah, we love God, but it pulled us away from the act of loving God, the act, the showing, the spending time with God. We'd rather spend time with Jim, Joe, or Sally than spending time with God because it feels so good.
Watch out, Prophet, now. Watch out.
And then, you know, when we go to church, it's sad to say, you're right, we don't want to go to church because they ain't talk about nothing. So why am I going to waste my time? Because I can't find a church, but they ain't really talking about anything. They ain't talking about God. God ain't flowing. There's no effective ministry. So why should I go and waste my time? Like you said, I get what I need right here. Not realizing that if we seek God, we'll find that place we need to go to get strengthened. Because we have fallen for the trick of the enemy. And we have found our strength in other places and calling it the joy of the Lord.
Well, you know, we go to church and we say, oh boy, we want God to give us that. We want the gifts. We want the gifts of the Spirit. But the question is, if we don't go to church, how are we going to develop our spiritual giftings?
That's right.
You know, there are some people that are of Levitical order that had that God has given them gifts and callings that are supposed to function and operate within the church. But if it ain't no church, how am I going to develop my spiritual gifting? I don't mind prophesying. I don't mind prophesying to people in this format, but really, prophecy is meant for the church, not for the world.
And you know that has been taught the opposite way.
Going to the workplace and prophesying in the work. That's not where the anointing is in the house. But we got that thing backwards. We want to prophesy to folk that can't receive spiritual things. They make a mockery out of folk that's standing out there in the workplace prophesying about what the Lord said. They don't care about that.
Because we ain't got nothing going on. We don't have enough. We're really not even allowing. Okay, thank you, Lord. Because we're not going to get. We're not being built up. We're not being stirred up like we should, and then we're going out. The highways, the byways, our workplaces, the places we're going to show the God in us. And like you said, they laughing at us. Yeah, she talking about what God said. You know, that's true. Because we ain't talking about nothing, and ain't nothing working around us. Ain't nothing working. And they looking at us like, you know, why should we serve her God? She ain't got nothing.
Saints are so broke they can't buy a mosquito or wrestling jacket. But you want me to serve your God, and they got it going on.
That's right. That's right. And God has called us to a wealthy place, but we got that twisted too.
Saints, we're talking about spiritual illusion that flattery is producing and how it's sedating us and then removing us from the place where the blessing of the Lord used to dwell. But I can't get nobody, we can't get nobody to talk to us this morning, Prophet. Nobody wants to talk to us this morning. Phone lines.
It's real.
And they don't want to talk
it's
about
so real,
this. We are being defeated by the enemy in every area of our lives. But it's okay. He said that my people that understand and hear what the Lord is saying in Daniel, he said, in this time they will be strong and do exploits. Because while everybody else is being distracted, there's a remnant of people that are crying out for God in prayer for revival, that have turned off the TV in their homes and they're worshiping God and producing an atmosphere where the anointing, they're receiving fresh oil, fresh anointing in their lives, fresh revelation, and they're going out and doing things that people have never seen before and accomplishing things that people have never accomplished before. And God is slowly but surely establishing a place back now where people are seeing the glory of the Lord in people. But those are the ones that have paid the price and willing to go through the process.
Jesus.
You see, that oral gratification has the promise of instant gratification. And people people are trying to get instant gratification and not go through the process, because the process is long, it's tedious, but in the end, it produces fruit, not just a feeling.
My Lord.
Listen, I want to take one more caller if there's somebody else on the line. We got a lot of people on the line, but nobody's talking. I want to take one more call, and then I want to pray this morning. For those of you that are listening, we've been talking about uncovering the spiritual illusion of flattery, and I want you to go back and listen to the teaching. You can do that by going back to blogtalkradio.com, typing in the search engine, the Serious Bible Study, and go back and listen again and get the information that I'm talking about, because this is a serious matter that is destroying the body of Christ. We can't even have a church meeting now, because if it takes too long, people will leave. If we don't get our stuff from the Lord in the first 30 minutes, then we're ready to go. Listen, I'm going to get your thoughts. One more call I want to take this morning on the line. Press star one on the line. Remember, we mentioned the fact that June the 22nd through the 24th Prophetic Impact Conference here in Oklahoma City coming your way, trying to solidify all the speakers and get all the information finalized, and we'll get that out to you. But want to give you a heads up that there's going to be a meeting of epic proportions in the Oklahoma City area, June 22nd through the 24th. And so we want you to be a part. Information coming out this week probably that will announce the dates, the time, the place, the speakers, all of that. And so we want you to be a part as well. Also, if you have not sown a covenant seed of support to the ministry, we need your support. In order to continue to do the things that God is asking us to do, we want you to get involved financially by sowing your seed. If everybody sowed a little bit, then we would have a lot, and we would be able to accomplish what it is that the Lord wants to do in the lives of men and women all across this country and even around the world. And you can do that by going to our website at kogwoc.org. KOGWOC.org. Don't take for granted that everything is being supplied, because if you're not supporting, well then we need your support. Amen. We need the support of everybody in order to be able to do what it is that God is wanting us to do. And so with that being said, I want one more caller this morning before I pray to give me some feedback on uncovering the spiritual illusion of flattery. Amen. Uncovering the spiritual illusion of flattery. If you received the word this morning, then we want to hear from you. Before I pray this morning, I want to tap into the thoughts and the process, the thought of those that are listening here. All right, you got 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. I tell you what, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for releasing to us the information and the revelation that comes through your word. Father, we pray that you would break the power of the enemy over our lives that is seducing us, sedating us, drawing us out of your presence. Father, we pray and we bind, oh God, every work of the devil that has been successful in allowing us to be deceived. And, Lord, bring forth truth, understanding, and revelation to our lives that allow us to war effectively against the spirit of flattery. And, Lord, as we do these things, we pray for fresh anointing, fresh oil, fresh understanding to come back into our lives so that your name, your kingdom can be glorified and the devil would be horrified at what it is that you're doing in our lives. So, Father, we give you great praise, glory, and honor unto you as you fulfill your will and purpose in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we appreciate all of you that have come on this broadcast this morning. And we ask you to join us again every Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, for the Serious Bible Study. I'm your host, Prophet Keith Douglas, and again, we thank you for listening. See you next week, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you're not friends with me on Facebook, send me a friend request so that we can keep you updated on all of the happenings that are going on within this ministry. God bless you. Have a great week. And we pray that the blessing of the Lord would be upon you and that the devil will be defeated in Jesus' name.